Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everyone.
Hello, friends.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
How you doing?
I am A-okay.
Good.
Yeah. We're going to get to the check-in of how we're doing in a minute, but let's welcome our new listeners.
Yeah, let's do.
Our new supporters.
Hi, new listeners.
Oh, my gosh.
How you doing? So I'm sure there's a bunch of people this week who are listening to this podcast for the very first time.
Yes.
Because we're doing a sustainability fundraiser, and one of the deals is that when you support our sustainability fundraiser at shannoncurtis.net, you get invited to listen to the podcast every week. You get an email in your inbox that says there's a new podcast, and you can just click on it and listen.
Are you new? Are you one of our newbies?
Welcome. I got the best email from someone just a couple days ago saying, I listened to your podcast for the first time. Oh. I like the format, and you two are good talkers. Oh.
Good talkers. That's wonderful. I love it.
Well, I like it too.
It's so wonderful, new folks who are listening. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for being here for the reason that you became a supporter of our sustainability fundraiser. You are also now part of our Misfit Stars community. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, same. So people, if you're listening to this and you're like, I've got no idea what they're talking about so far. First of all, catch up. Come on. No, but here's the deal. I will help you. I will help you. I will guide you by the hand down the garden path of this idea. So Shannon and I usually go on tour in the summertime. We do a house concert tour. We drive all over the country playing intimate concerts in people's backyards and living rooms. It's fantastic. It's an amazing way to make a living. Mm-hmm. And indeed, we make about 3/4 of our living doing that. Well, we can't do that this summer. We would be a mobile health hazard. Can't do it.
Yeah.
So instead, what we are doing is we are reaching out into our community of supporters with a sustainability fundraiser. And we're centering it around our Misfit Stars patron community.
Yeah.
Long story short, if you would like to help us weather this pandemic, please go to shannoncurtis.net and throw your hat in the ring. It's recurring monthly contributions that we're crowdsourcing here.
In small dollar amounts.
Yeah, they're $5, $10 a month. There's higher levels for people who are doing well, but if you just want to have your voice be part of the choir, come in at $5 a month. It might not feel like much to you, but if a bunch of people do it, which they are, it adds up and it helps.
Yeah.
So that's the pitch. Please do help. We'll talk more about it later.
Yeah.
But we've got some amazing goals, things we want to do, new ways we're figuring out to be of service in this time.
Yes.
And that's all at shannoncurtis.net. You can read about it at your leisure
Thank
as you go
you
to be of support.
So much. And for those of you who've been around for a while, our original gangstas here in the Misfit Stars group, one way that you could be a support to this podcast is to, if you have not already, go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rate and review.
Yeah.
That'd be a great way for you to help get this podcast into the podcast feeds of other people that Apple's algorithm thinks might like the same kinds of things that you like.
Do we mention this every week? We do. Do a lot of people each week go and do this? No, you don't.
But you could be the change.
You could fix that. I know you're just sitting around the house in your underpants eating Cheetos. Come on.
No.
Wipe the Cheeto dust off your grubby little fingers and click on Apple Podcasts.
Nacho cheese Doritos.
Mm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's check it. Let's do our feelings check
in. How are you feeling, baby?
Me first? Okay.
Sure.
You know, I'm feeling okay. This is our busy season. It's our busy season every year.
Sure.
And so this year, I feel like the busyness might actually be something of a welcome distraction from the wild and crazy times in which we're all existing, because it just gives me something to focus on. You know, I imagine there are probably people listening who are in the same boat who are suddenly, you know, in the last couple of months having to keep up their full-time job at home while also homeschooling their kids. And, you know,
they're three times as busy.
Yeah. So there are those of us. And so I'm identifying with those folks right now, you know, feeling like we've got so much to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also finding just real joy and respite in the work that we have to do right now too. So like when it's time, you know, for studio time in the evenings where we're, you know, cranking away on this new record we're working on.
Coming on great.
My whole heart and body love that time.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just really good for me to just dive right into that. And also, you know, the topic of the record this year has been legitimately helpful for me in processing how to move through this time. Like we've talked a little bit about the theme of the record here, but it's coming out June 19th and it's called And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm. And really, the record is kind of like, I've been thinking of it lately as sort of like a step-by-step meditation on how to move through life in a doing the next right thing kind of way. Like there's a lot of the record is about mindfulness and presence,
yeah,
and listening to what is true and taking the little steps required to move toward those things and seeing what happens from those steps, yeah, you know? And so
very applicable.
Yeah. And so it's been like medicine to me to get to create this stuff, because yeah, it's been really genuinely helpful for me also, you know?
And to me too, yeah, you know, to sit with it, to learn it, to take on board the ideas that you have thought up, and then to figure out how to dramatically signal boost them. That's been a cool exercise for me too.
Yeah.
Get in the headspace.
I'm feeling okay, you know. How about you?
Pretty good. Generally speaking, pretty good. Having just a little bit of an anxious day to day, like low level, not high level, just definitely feeling at times like if I'm reading something, like I just got to stop. I've had to stop reading things a bunch of times already today.
Yeah. Like, is this serving me in this moment?
Not even that. Just like, even like non-newsy stuff.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I find that I'm having to really parcel out like my ingestion of social media and sure, my ingestion of kind of everything.
Yeah.
Take really small bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Talked with my sister today. Mm-hmm. Our parents are not staying the course amazingly, and we can touch more on that later, but that's been contributing a little bit.
We are going to touch more on the staying the course, yeah, idea later in the podcast,
but I think I'm doing fine, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I've got no large personal of the moment complaints.
All right.
I have several large complaints that are not personal.
I have complaints. Where shall I register them?
Yeah. Yeah. but yeah, on balance, doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great.
So what has our experience been this week?
I mean, going back to this is our busy season, it really is defined a lot about that kind of stuff right now. The fundraiser is, by the time this podcast airs, we will have just started our final week,
yeah,
of the fundraiser, our third and final week of the fundraiser. And, you know, every year we do this, it's always an emotional roller coaster, yeah, and a challenge to manage my emotions through it, because asking for help is not easy, you know, and like, it's not something that happens quickly either.
No.
Like, there's a reason we do the fundraiser for 3 weeks, yeah, is because, you know, it takes a while to get the kind of people on board that we need to get on board. And that requires patience and, yeah, like an understanding.
And persistence.
Yeah. And an understanding that this is not instant gratification. Mm-mm. It's not like, you know, and so it requires us to keep going back to, yeah, the emotional place of opening our hands and asking for help, you know, yeah, like, which is hard to do over and over and over again.
And it's especially hard, like, when we're saying the same goddamn things over and over and over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like there's any new or creative way. We try, we're creative people, we do our best, but at a certain point, we're just saying the same things every single day, multiple
right,
times a day, and just... And it's like the advertising, you know, idea of 7 impressions, right? Like, it takes someone on average 7 impressions of seeing a message before, mm-hmm, they respond to and or react to that, mm-hmm, message,
yeah,
right? Meaning they'll see it the first time, be like, okay. They'll see it the second time, be like, all right. Third, fourth,
later,
fifth, sixth,
yeah,
yeah. And finally they're like, yeah, I've been meaning to do that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, which means that we just have to keep saying the same thing,
yeah,
over and over and over. But it's not like it's some passive thing where we just do a media buy and then let the TV, yeah, ads do the work.
It's personal.
It's us saying it into a camera, yeah, over and over and over and needing to maintain the same level of cheer and enthusiasm, yeah, live on camera.
Well, and I was going to say on that note though, the flip side of all of that is that I'm actually having a good time doing it too, you know, so like that's real. And,
yeah,
you know, it's been really fun. We've added the element of doing song performances,
yeah,
during our broadcast.
As a duo.
Jamie on piano and me on hairbrush microphone.
That sounds very Appalachian. It's like a washtub bass, but somehow even worse.
No, me on hairbrush microphone. But yeah, so it's been legitimately fun. And it's fun to see people, you know, popping into the comments. I feel like we've got like a standing nightly date with a lot of folks who,
yeah,
show up every single night.
Yeah.
And that's really,
our stars.
It's lovely. It's, yeah, really lovely. So thank you to those of you who have been part of that steadfast crew that shows up for us. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is a lift.
Yes. It's been going great. Oh, go ahead.
I've just, you know, touching on what you said there, I found that it has been easier for me this year for some reason to disconnect from the emotional roller coaster of it, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like I've just really found myself feeling like an innate understanding that it's going to be fine somehow.
That's
like
good.
It always, we've done this for so many years in a row now, you know? And it, like if I stop to think about it in the micro, it's like, it's easy to look at the numbers and be like, things are slowing down. It's hard. But of course they're slowing down. There's always a burst at the beginning and then a slow in the middle and then there's a burst at the end. That's how it is every single year.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's predictable.
It's completely predictable. Yeah. Like I was looking at the numbers right before we did the podcast because like we always update the pod script. Like we just used last week's script and just right. like just change things around and edit and just like it's the same format. It's like having a template without having a template, you know?
Right.
It's just a single file that I keep updating. And so last week at this time, we had 58 people supporting the fundraiser. And this week, right now, we have 88 people
at
supporting the fundraiser.
At the moment of recording, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at that, it's like 60 and 30. It's
actually,
like
no, one came
half.
In right before we started. We're at 89.
There you go.
It just it changes all the time. But
it's like, but it's about half, right?
Yeah.
We had half as many people
sure.
in the second week as we did in the first week. And if you look at that, it's like, oh no, it's going downhill. There's 2 points. They're making a line aiming downward and it's bad. But then it's like, no, wait. We do this all the time. First of all, like it's not tonight. By tonight, there will probably be 10 more people. Who even knows?
Yeah.
And like also, it's going to pick up toward the end because it always does that. There's always like the trench in the middle where you just slog it out. And every day feels like a land war in Asia. You know what I mean?
I think that what you're describing is like any trajectory of any long-term project or task,
sure.
you know, like there's all, you could get mired down and discouraged by the, you know, the places where it slows down in the middle or gets tougher, you know, but like with anything, like you got to take the long view.
So speaking of focusing on long-term tasks.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, kind of makes a little bit of a segue into the thing that we had thought we would maybe talk about for the rest of the episode.
That's a good idea.
So as a frame, here's the intro. Here's the lead in.
Okay.
Another thing that we did this week, over the last week, is that we went grocery shopping for the first time in 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
We've been doing a really shockingly good job, I think, at making a big grocery purchase and living off of it for a long time to minimize our time out among other people spreading disease. You know, plague vector in a station wagon.
Trying not to be that plague
That's
vector.
It.
Yeah.
You know, so we went grocery shopping. So the previous time we had gone grocery shopping was at this point about 4.5 weeks ago. About 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt good. Like everywhere we went, it seemed like people were concerned, taking it seriously. A lot of mutual care going on as expressed through actions of you know, social distancing and mask wearing and concerned looks and checking in. Felt really good. We went like half a week ago and it felt much less good.
Yeah.
Like you and I both really noticed it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Costco was great. And I've talked with a lot of people who actually feel like the sort of way Costco has set it up for people to shop there has made it so that the experience there actually is really good. Granted, their aisles are wider and there's just more space available in a Costco warehouse than there are at some smaller grocery stores and that kind of thing. But generally speaking, like, you know, they're requiring masks inside, which is great.
Yeah.
Keeps everybody a little bit more safe. Certainly is the best thing for their workers
who
have to be there, you know. It's Costco felt good. We went to the other grocery store to get stuff that we can't get at Costco, and that felt way less good.
No, it was kind of a shit show.
Yeah, it was like lots of people without any face coverings at all.
It was kind of like January. It was imagine going to the grocery in January, but like 25% of the people there are being weirdos and wearing face masks for some reason.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like
we were some of the weirdest then, yeah.
But it really felt like we were not within the norm there.
I mean, I see what you mean. And I think, I don't know. I feel like I noticed people who weren't abiding by the social distancing and mask wearing sort of
conventions
more than I noticed the others. So probably it was more like a half and half scenario.
Oh, but man, I'd be shocked if it were more than 25%.
I mean, I just know that my mind, like my eyes were drawn more to the folks who weren't with the program. You know what I mean? Like, so my attention was given more to that part of the population. So I want to just It seems to make sense to sort of like acknowledge that probably I was giving them more weight in my memory of the experience.
Fair enough.
But that said, it still was a big difference from the last time we went. And there certainly did seem to be a lot of people who just didn't care about like giving space for other humans. And it felt more fraught for sure.
Really did.
Yeah. And why is that? I mean, I guess there are probably some people who don't have access to a mask. I'm leaving room for that possibility to be the case.
Sure.
You know, there was a while that you and I didn't have any, you know, until a friend sent us a couple that she had made by
That's
hand,
right.
you know? So there's that possibility.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, there's also seems to be a group of people for whom like the mask wearing convention is like antithetical to their
tribal identity.
That's somehow like a mark against their freedom or something.
Sure.
Let's
call it what it is. It's a political balkanization.
Yeah. I mean,
which is so wild to me.
It is. It is. Like, I feel like at the beginning of all of this, we had much more of a sense of we're really all in this together.
Yeah.
And I feel like there has been a segment of the population who's been peeling off from that. And it's concerning.
They're no longer in with us, really. They're in a different place together.
Yeah.
Without us. And it's a place where for them there seems to be a pervasive attitude of this is behind us. You and I saw a video this morning somewhere or other. I forget what it was.
It was from Galveston, Texas. It was a reporter for a news station there, and he actually used the phrase "following the pandemic." Like, here's what these people are doing: following the pandemic.
As though the pandemic's in the rear view.
It's not. it's not done.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think there's two things, right? There are some people for whom I think it's just becoming like a fatigue.
Yep.
Pandemic fatigue.
Sure.
And then there are also some people who are not staying with the program as a statement of their
right
identity or politics or
their affiliations.
Yeah. And that I think is a different attitude.
Sure.
You know, and that concerns me. But so does the fatigue, and the fatigue is relatable.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
It really is.
I want to go see our friends. I would like to eat out.
I would love to go get a burger.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
But I also don't want to go get a burger right now, even though technically I'm sure you and I could go up the street and find a burger somewhere.
Right.
Because it would feel fraught. And that wouldn't be relaxing and fun in the way that dining out
right
was supposed to be.
Exactly.
So for me, it wouldn't really scratch that itch. It's
exactly.
It's not like I have a burning need for a burger. It's that not cooking and going out and treating yourself
is
fun and it's a treat.
Yes.
And like worrying all the time about who's being a dickhead around you and like not wearing a mask and endangering your life. And do they
it's
have the virus?
Fun.
And are they doing sanitation in the kitchen? Like, I don't want to think about any of that.
Yeah.
That's not relaxing.
It totally.
That would amp the stress up.
I totally get you. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So we started talking earlier about like, well, let's talk about this coronavirus fatigue. And it's one thing to acknowledge that we're concerned about it,
mm-hmm.
that people are loosening their own personal standards for like social distancing and public health.
Yep.
You know? But then, you know, my next thought is, well, my next thought is always, okay, what do I have the power to control and what don't I? And let's look at the levers that I do have access to.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do about this?
Yeah.
And so we wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about that today.
Yeah.
You know, because with everything, like I can't control the dude at the grocery store who doesn't want to give me 6 feet of personal space and not wear a mask. I can't control him.
Yeah, for sure. And so the issue here really, right, is that we've done this for 2 months and people are fatigued, but I think the reality of it is we're all going to need to do it for a lot longer. There may be some seasonal respite over the summer. Nobody really knows what this virus is going to do, but if it behaves like a number of other viruses that have been cataloged in the wild, like the seasonal flu, it's going to be seasonal in some measure, right? Meaning
it
that-
It might or may not be. We don't
that's
know
right.
that
we have
yet.
No idea, but one of the possible options is that it is, right? That people will just get infected at way lower rates over the course of the summer.
Uh-huh.
Here's hoping. That would be wonderful. What it for sure, though, does mean is, I mean, this thing is still out there. There's still not any herd immunity or vaccine for it. No one is immune to it. Everyone who gets the virus does get the disease, mm-hmm. you know, on some measure,
on some spectrum.
You know, yeah, totally. And that it can be, you know, non-presenting, like a 0% to 100%, like death. It can be mm-hmm. anywhere in there, but everyone does get it. So like it will come back, meaning that we have to have some long-term thinking around this. You know, it's funny. It sucks that like, initially, I was like, it's so good that this happened going into the spring as opposed to going into the fall. Because imagine like a long, cold winter with everyone indoors. It would have been so depressing and hard. Mm. But also, it would have meant that the three seasons where this is the most likely to attack people would have been consecutive, like right from when it opened up. So it would have been like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. It's October. What are we going to do? Fall, winter, spring. At that point, we would have had 9 solid months of practice and digging in, doing it together as a team. But with the weather getting nice,
it's
people want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Summer vacation's coming. Everyone wants to hang out with their friends. People want to hang out with their friend groups. People want to barbecue. People want to have some beers. All the springtime stuff, I think, is actually making it much harder for people to stay the course because it's not like we're naturally just inclined to stay at home and do our home things anyway.
Right.
This is the time of year when we want to get out. We've been trapped in the house.
Right.
You know, we live in the Northeast, let's say. You know, winter just ended in the Northeast. They got snow last week at my sister's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, it's the time when you want to like go out and do outdoor stuff. And
right.
this makes it much harder.
Well, also I think that another aspect of why this is why people are having virus fatigue is that our culture is just not set up for like the like idea of like sticking with things for the long term, especially things that are that feel invisible, you know, like if you live in New York City, you probably have really experienced upfront and personal, like the toll of this, right? Because of the level of infections that have happened there. And the
trauma, the imminent feeling of personal risk.
You know, it doesn't mean that it's not happening other places. It totally is. But, you know, especially if we're sheltering in place and staying at home for the most part, most of us aren't feeling this in an immediate way.
Right.
And so sticking with the plan for the long term, you know, our culture, we're a fast food society. You know, we want immediate results. We want results as soon as we've thought we have a need. You know, we want those itches scratched right now. And like the very nature of this pandemic is that it's going to be a long-term project to overcome it. You know, there's just no way around that, you know?
Meanwhile, the most popular TV service just got launched, the new thing, Quibi. It's like 7-minute long TV programs.
Oh, okay.
In case 22 minutes is too much for your attention span. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a good data point with what you're talking about.
Our attention spans are very short.
And
yes.
shrinking all the time.
Yeah. So we're not, I mean, like think about, you know, the general public's attitude toward climate change, for instance.
Sure.
Like, that is a massive problem that's looming over our future and our present. But it feels largely removed, and it is a problem that will take a long, sustained effort to tackle. And so most people are like, I just don't care. You know, like it
can't
just
think about that.
Out of sight, out of mind, you know. But here we are. We are in this thing that is going to take a while. So even though we're not a society that's set up for like encouraging sustained long-term effort toward a common goal.
Yeah.
Like, what are some things that we can do to encourage that? Because like every single one of us has some circle of influence in our lives. And you know, I was thinking about this earlier, like there are some leaders, especially some state governors who are doing a bang up job leading in this time. They are like
Washington State, right where we are right now. Jay Inslee doing an amazing job. Yep.
But that said, there are a lot of leaders, national leaders specifically, who have completely abdicated their role of leadership in this time. They ought to be leading, and they're just nowhere to be found.
Sure. And or if they're saying anything, they're working against the public good.
Yeah. So, you know, and obviously the kind of leadership that the national government can do is not something that even the state leadership can take over, like the mass production of PPE, for instance, you know, or the mobilizing a national production effort for testing, you know, like
it should all be coordinated.
It ought to be. So yes, granted our state governors are picking up the slack where they can, and they're doing a great job. But the vacuum of leadership really makes clear to me that it falls on all of us to be leaders in this time.
Yeah, it's really true.
And that like every single one of us, you know, obviously I can't do anything about manufacturing more PPE for frontline healthcare workers. Nope. That's not something that I have the power to do.
It is above your pay grade.
But each one of us does have a circle of influence that we can lead in. And so let's talk about a couple of things that we can, that each of us could do to be proactive, good leaders in this time. Because I think that it feels like that's something, if it's something that we can do, it feels good to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I'll start with something that we should just get right out of the way because it for sure isn't helpful.
What's that?
Shaming people.
Yes.
Let's just take that right off the table, people. It just does not work. It may scratch an itch. You might feel frustrated. You might feel mad. Getting online and mouthing off to someone in person. Yeah. All it does is it makes them double down on their position. It makes them dig their heels in.
Yeah.
And when you cause that kind of reflexive, defensive reaction in somebody, it actually entrenches their belief further.
It reinforces their bad ideas.
Yeah. So don't do that.
You're
blowing off steam in that way will only serve to work against the thing that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and can I just tell you that like I have to check myself on that all the time.
Oh, constantly.
Like I see posts on social media and I'm like, and I can feel it in my body. I can feel the tension rising in my neck
My
shoulders and like I want to just like, you know, mouth off to make a point. And it's like, okay, that's not going
to
be helpful.
Which is so unfair because there are so many people who need to be told what an idiot they are and you can't do it. And they deserve it. And you could be the one to do it.
Yeah,
but it won't help and we can't.
Helpful.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. So no shaming.
No shaming.
That's number one rule. And it goes back to some stuff we've been talking about the last couple of weeks in this podcast is to center compassion around it.
Yeah.
Like the quickest way to get out of the mentality for me of to not shame somebody publicly on social media is to try to cultivate my compassion for them.
Try to figure out where they're coming
Understanding
from.
Understanding them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it means just hiding their post and reporting it as fake news. But, you know, that also feels good. I don't know if it works, but it feels good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but there's other things that we can model. I think modeling positive behavior, you know, like when we're in public, wearing the masks, doing the, you know, kindly giving people space,
yeah.
You know, even
with a lightly performative aspect to it, like a gesture or an intentional look to make it really clear that you're doing a thing on purpose intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, next
it's
time,
nice when someone does that to me, it feels good.
It does. So like next time we're at the grocery store and I see the dude who's defiantly not wearing a mask, you know, that's an opportunity where I can like let my eyes smile for me since I can't let him see my smile underneath my mask.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in an eye smiling, friendly way, you know, and with a hand gesture, allowing him to pass with distance between us is a way to model behavior to somebody who's not otherwise with the program,
yeah.
You know, and doing modeling the behavior with a friendly face,
yeah,
and with a compassionate attitude matters.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
So that's another thing that we can do is modeling positive behavior in a positive way.
You know, what's really helpful for me is when I see my own feelings of struggle validated, you know, and that's something we can each do for other people as well.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you mean by that specifically? Like
even those of us who have like you and I are really, we've been training for this moment for a long time because our life has been one long exercise for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. You and I, of adapting constantly to new circumstances and change.
Right.
And taking new things on board as being a new normal. Like, we haven't had a normal life in
that's
a decade and a half.
True.
You
yeah.
know? Our life is unpredictable, often sketchy, often a little bit fraught, challenging, something we need to, you know, really work hard to thrive in, you know?
Yeah.
And we do. We thrive. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because we have built up those resiliency muscles, that tolerance of change,
mm-hmm,
you know? That idea in our own personal lives that, like, every day could theoretically be completely different and that we may not have a map for where we're going and that's okay.
Right.
You know, that whole idea of you don't need to be able to see the entire way ahead. It's like driving at night, you know,
mm-hmm,
you just need to be able to see as far ahead as your headlights will go. And that's not the whole way, but if you just keep going and paying
right.
attention, you can get the whole way that way.
Yeah.
You know? And so you and I are maybe uniquely situated to be pretty resilient in a time like this, you know?
Mm.
But even people like you and me, like it's hard for me, and I know it's hard for mm-hmm. you too, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. like the trauma and the unpredictability and mm-hmm. just the deadening constant body blows of weird news and bad news. Yeah. It's just, it's constantly low level to medium level traumatic,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and it's hard, and it really just, it makes me sometimes yearn for an end to it all. So I yeah. understand in such a compassionate way,
right.
the people who are just like throwing their arms up and you're like, I can't take this anymore. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
It's not the right or appropriate response, but I understand it
absolutely.
Fundamentally from the core of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But something that I find really does help for me is just feeling like I'm not alone, you know,
right.
hearing from other people what their struggles are, like
yeah.
how it's hard for them. And so I've been trying to be more intentional, and I know you have too.
Yeah.
Just about sharing like where we're at when we're having trouble with that, you
yeah.
know? Because like being like the shiny, happy people who are, I got this, everything's cool.
I've got it
cool.
all figured out.
It took me a month. I adjusted. I'm fine. What's wrong with you, loser? Like no one says that, but like that's sort of the implication when you see someone who's just like posting shiny, happy bullshit on their Facebook or whatever. It's like, you're probably struggling, man, and you're just not being honest about it, but it makes me feel less good.
Right.
Because it's almost like a sort of passive shaming.
That's a great phrase. Yeah, it's like passive shaming. None of us has this figured out.
No.
None of us has ever been through this before.
No.
So to project an air of like, yeah, I've got this is not real.
No.
And it's not like...
It's disingenuous and harmful, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're all struggling our way through. And so you're right. It is helpful, I think, to just be real about like, you know, assessing, you know, taking on... Like there are pretty much every state at some level is making moves toward... like reopening
yep.
at various levels, and it's very different in lots of different places. But even Washington State, which has done an excellent job, I think, of flattening the curve and, you know,
yep.
and getting to a place of containment, is beginning the stages of opening up. And so we're going to have new decisions that we're all going to be confronted with as things do open up. Like, you know, today I read that dentist offices can start opening back up in Washington State now. And so, you know, like, well, you know, we are due for teeth cleaning, but like, is it something that feels essential to do that right now?
Am I going to go to a situation where I cannot wear a mask and have somebody else who's wearing at best an N95 mask, which is still only 95% effective, breathing heavily 6 inches from my face? No.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are some people who do need dental care, right?
Yeah.
So, and even though we're due for cleanings, like this is not something like, oh, well, clearly I'm not going to do that. No, what the actual thing that's happening is that like I'm evaluating, well, does that feel safe? I don't know. Let me check in with myself. Like there's not a, well, of course not.
Mm.
That's the exact thing that I think that feels sometimes like implicit shaming to other people who are struggling through those decisions. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So like it's that kind of stuff. We're all going to be confronted with new decisions about what feels right and what feels safe and what kind of activities require a little bit more risk than others.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to be dealing like, it, that kind of uncertainty is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the core of it. Like being uncertain about how to move forward, especially as circumstances continue to change around us. It's a vulnerable feeling.
And particularly in such a fraught environment too, right? Because it's not like if you make a bad choice, it'll have mild personal consequences. Like if you make a bad choice, you could kill someone's mom.
Yeah, exactly. But again, like these vulnerable feelings tend to make us want to make statements of certainty, you know, like to sew it up because it feels otherwise... uncomfortable to deal with that, right? But it's also okay to sit with the uncertainty, to sit with the vulnerability and make a good decision. And, you know, like that make a good decision based on expert advice.
Yeah.
Make a good decision based on, you know, what the level of need is to engage in that activity.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it's going to be that exercise, that practice over and over and over.
Yeah.
And kind of, we need
a
to
new
get,
calculus about everything.
We need to get used to that. And we need to give ourselves grace when we get it wrong.
Yep.
We need to give each other grace in the process as well.
Yeah.
Because we're just not all going to get it right
every
time. we're just not.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think we also need to hold each other to account.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
That can be, and that can be done in a non-punitive, non-harsh way too. Mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But like, I think it's important if you see someone like who is sort of like in your life, who is screwing this up, you know, to like, oof. If possible, like try to provide them with constructive, helpful feedback, mm-hmm. you know, in a non-threatening way, like not threaten their agency or their ego, but, mm-hmm. you know, but figure out a way to communicate with them that you're concerned and you're concerned for their health and well-being.
Right.
You know, it's not a control thing. You're not being an asshole. It's right. just that you love them and you don't want them to die because they've let their guard down.
Right.
You know?
This feels personal.
It does. I'm talking to myself here too.
Yeah.
Because that conversation I had with my sister.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'm concerned about my parents just going out there and relaxing their guard and killing themselves. Yeah. You know? My dad apparently started going grocery shopping, you know, whenever he feels like it. 2-3 times a week, just drifting out to the grocery.
That's like normal.
Yeah, it is. And he's wearing a mask and he's wearing gloves and he takes hand sanitizer with him and he's doing the social distancing, the 6-foot thing. Like he's being super careful. Mm-hmm. But like those are things that make it less dangerous. The
right.
thing that makes it not dangerous is staying in your damn house.
Right.
Everything else has a much higher level of risk.
Right. And they are a couple of people who are in their 70s and your mom
has... My dad's 76.
And your mom has pre-existing conditions that would make the virus really dangerous for
her. My mom's
her.
A damn tinderbox. If she gets this thing, it's over.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a tornado through a trailer park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm worried about it. I'm really worried about it. My mom apparently has been going out running small errands, going to like the paint store or something, you know? Which... I mean, she loves painting. It's become this like late in life hobby for her. She's like repainting their entire house. And I love it. I'm so supportive. It's wonderful. And she gets so much pleasure out of it. And it's great. It's adorable. I love mm-hmm. it. But you know, it's just another place for her to go where someone else's poor decisions might impact her negatively. Because
right.
here's the thing. She could be doing the absolute best job wearing her mask. Her mask doesn't protect her.
Right.
Her mask protects other people.
Right.
Well, she pretty surely doesn't have this thing because she's been in the house until, you know, this week, mm-hmm. you know, for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
But like, what if someone else was in the paint store 5 minutes before her, not wearing a mask, mm-hmm. you know, asymptomatic carrier, talking loudly, coughed, sneezed, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's droplets in the air. They hang out for 14 minutes, people.
Right.
She could walk in 5 minutes after the person has left the building, walk right through a cloud of that stuff and inhale it through the edges of her mask.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, that's it. That's right. the whole game right there.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter if there's a bed for her in the ER. Like, this thing will take her out,
yeah.
even in the ER. It's not a question of like rationing ventilators or something like that.
Right.
It's a question of like, if she gets this thing, it'll probably destroy her.
Right.
And like, that's a huge worry, you know?
So what are you thinking about communicating with them? Are you thinking you're going to take it up with them?
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe at some point. Honestly, I don't have bandwidth right now.
Yeah,
I was talking with my sister about that earlier today. Like, and I feel a little bit of... I'm tempted to feel guilty about this, but honestly, I just think it's something I need to do right now is not take too much on because mm-hmm. I also am mm-hmm. at a reduced capacity and mm-hmm. I also am struggling. I
yeah.
also have my own stuff I'm dealing with. And we're finishing an album and we're doing our damn fundraiser and also the podcast. And there's so much stuff. Like mm-hmm. you and I work constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't have the time.
It's fine.
And
yeah.
I don't have the emotional bandwidth to
yeah.
even like contemplate it right now. Like could I spend half an hour on a phone call? Sure. If it were going to be light and easy breezy, but
right.
like I don't feel light and easy breezy about it right now.
Yeah.
So my choice I'm making right now is just a punt.
Yeah.
You know?
It's perfectly okay to check your own oxygen mask first.
The phone calls out of their house too. You know what I mean? If they if they call me, I'll pick up.
Yeah.
You know, if they leave yeah. a voicemail, I'll call right back. But
well,
am I like trying to borrow that trouble right now?
Yeah.
No, I am not.
Yeah. And in their case, you know, probably the people they're putting most at danger by their actions are themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, at the end of the day, in any circumstance, whether it be, you know, protecting one's own health and safety from a deadly virus or taking care of any other, you know, issue in somebody's life, it boils down to the choices that person makes for themselves, you
yeah.
know? I mean, obviously, there are ramifications for public health when we make bad choices here, too.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that. But in their case, what I'm saying is
yeah, in
probably...
in their particular case.
They're probably putting just mostly themselves in yeah. in danger by engaging in these activities.
But just to be super clear for everyone else who's listening, like in a pandemic, in a situation where there's a virus out there for which there is no current therapy or vaccine, mm-hmm. you're not just putting yourself at risk by engaging in unsafe behavior. You're putting every single person in your community at risk, including the people you love.
Yeah. It's true.
Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's only tangential to what you're saying, but I just wanted to say it.
Yeah. And so it's really hard though to see, you know, just like we've seen friends who are, you know, killing themselves in addiction. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much you can offer a person if they don't want to take care of themselves. It's kind of a similar scenario, you know, with people keeping themselves healthy. It's rough. Like it's going to be up to them. I don't want your parents to die either.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end, but it's going to be up to them to protect themselves. It's not anyone else's job, but theirs.
I learned a new term this week, a new term, talking about this online with a friend. Mm. She lost her mom a couple of weeks ago. And so we were talking about grieving the term that I learned is anticipatory grief. Mm. So like it was a couple months ago that her mom died. I think I said weeks, but it was a couple months ago. The funeral home that they engaged to bury her mom has a grieving program. It's a 4-week long program that they offer free of charge.
Oh, wow.
To customers,
awesome.
And she did it, right? And so she learned like all this stuff about the grief process, which was actually really helpful to her. And she was able to share some of it with me. The term that I learned is anticipatory grief. Mm. She's like, you have anticipatory grief. I talked with her. I described the grief I was having about my mom. I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse here. I'm sorry. I've been having this anticipatory grief. I've realized about my mom. I've really had to sit with the idea that like, what if I've hugged her for the last time?
Yeah,
it could be the case. Yeah. Will it even be safe to use the tickets we've booked to fly home at Christmas? Jury's out. You know, I mean, right now, anyone entering the state of Vermont is required to do a 2-week quarantine.
Wow.
Are people doing it? Hard to say, but that's like the official mandate right now.
Wow.
You know? Uh-huh. And until there's a vaccine, I can't imagine why there would be any reason for it to be any different, especially in the fall when this is going to come roaring back once we get back into flu season. You know what I mean? Like this thing's not vanquished, people. It's still out there. You know? Will it spread more slowly in more hot and humid conditions? Hopefully so. Will it come roaring the hell back? Probably. Mm-hmm. It's not going to disappear randomly into the ground and go away, you know? Mm-hmm. Will we go home for Christmas? Probably not. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the tickets. We'll see. You don't have to cancel them until a few days before, so we can just punt. But like, who knows the next time I'm going to see them?
Yeah.
You know? Hard as hell to think about that.
You're grieving it in an anticipatory kind of way.
That's what
you were getting at.
Yeah, that's what that term means. It's like, you know, having to kind of do a bit of the grieving process ahead of time. Mm. You know? Just having those feelings of like, what if?
Yeah. I think that... one thing that we can do for people in our lives that we see, folks that are close to us that we see are maybe fatiguing out of of staying with the program. One thing that I think we can do is to offer to be of service to them. You know, again, it's cutting to the humanity of it, you know, and getting to like, how can I help meet a need?
Yeah.
And in offering to help meet that need, perhaps there will be perhaps that person can receive a compassionate message of, hey, we need you to stick with this.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we don't live near your parents, but you know, in that scenario, if we had, you know, someone close by here who was, you know, itching to get out and not doing so well with staying indoors and they really are a vulnerable, you know, person.
Yeah.
To offer to maybe do a grocery run for them, you know, like, hey, you know, want you to be really safe in this time. And can I do your grocery shopping for you this week?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just to offer ourselves as service to people as a way of communicating your health and safety matters to me. And, you know, maybe it would help influence their thinking, you know, about continuing to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just an idea.
Yep. Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that you're feeling stressed about your folks.
Oh, thanks. It's just like a low-level ambient thing, you know, but like having that conversation with my sister today definitely kind of brought it back up.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of, you know, like when something's stressful and new and weird and everything's changing and then it stabilizes and you're like, okay, it's stable. And my parents were stable for the last like couple months.
Yeah.
They were doing a really good job. Like, the beginning was really rocky. I've talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah.
If you go back to the beginning of March, like mid-March podcast, like...
It was freak out time.
Oh, yeah. It was anti-disinformation central campaign around here. It was really, really hard.
Yeah.
But like, to their credit, they got with the program and they've been fine. And now that's changing, you know? And so now it's just like thrown back up into the air for me, and I'm having to kind of revisit all of that, all those those worried, fraught feelings.
I it makes me wonder if part of what the long haul for this is going to look like for some of us is building up those muscles to continue to be there for folks who fatigue out.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's going to be part of the program for us. If we want to continue to be there for the people that we love.
Yeah.
You know, that might be part of what our long-term commitment to this means for us.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not going to be easy for anyone.
It's going to be continually cultivating compassion and our acknowledgement of other people's humanity and not getting it right and trying to give ourselves and each other grace to get through it.
Very, you know? Very Buddhist.
I don't know. I'm not a Buddhist, you know, but it is.
You just basically said like three verses of Dogchen.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Dogchen. I don't even know how to say it. I've only ever read it. Never heard anyone say it, but like you were echoing that in your thoughts.
I just don't
unintentionally.
Know, I just don't know another way to approach it, you know?
Well, yeah. Same.
Yeah. So we keep on keeping on.
What do you think, people? Do you have ideas?
We want to hear them.
We want to hear them. Please post in the Misfit Stars private Facebook group. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, Misfit Stars private Facebook group, posting about intentional things with the idea of having nurturing conversations, that sounds amazing.
Is
how do
that
I get in?
Possible?
First of all, yeah, it's possible. Second of all, you can self-select into this by becoming a supporter of our sustainability fundraiser we're doing. And here's the deal with that. Shannon and I cannot go on our annual house concert tour this summer. It's very sad. So, you know, spiritually, just on that level alone,
bummer.
We're bummed. But practically speaking, that tour accounts these days for about 3/4 of our yearly income.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you're connecting dots here, people, Shannon and I have just had about 75% of our annual income taken off the table. And we're figuring out ways around that. One way that we figured out is we are scheduling a virtual house concert tour, a Zoom tour. We've already booked the first month of that, which is very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening up the second month of that next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already sort of gotten some pre-booking going on for that second month by popular demand, which is really good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Who knows if we'll make any money doing it, but at least we'll be able to bring some joy into people's lives, and that alone is worth the price of admission.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, is free. So if you want to host a Zoom concert, just message one of us, and we would love to do that for you and your people. It's a private 20 to 25 person Zoom concert for you and your closest people. Everyone does it from the safety of their own home.
Mm-hmm.
You on your couch, your friends on their couches. We all click on the same link at the prearranged time, and Shannon and I will put on an amazing two-person feature-length music concert for you. It'll be immersive. It'll be really cool. Shannon's storytelling and singing are amazing, and it's going to be a cool experience.
Mm.
But that all said, that's one of the two things we're doing. The other thing we're doing is we are using our Misfit Stars patron community, the patron community that we started around this very podcast a year and a half ago, as a means of aggregating for ourselves a modest but hopefully stable and predictable monthly income. And so if you are already supporting this, thank you so much. You're
part of
the group of people that has come around us in this time to help us weather this episode, this world historic, very strange episode that we're all experiencing together. If you are not yet, however, a supporter, please consider becoming one. Support levels are really inexpensive. It's all small dollar amounts, $5 a month, $10 a month. There are higher monthly amounts if you're doing well in your life and you want to support at a higher level. We have a bunch of people in at 20 and 31 and a few people even in at 50 and 100. The $100 a month is, wow, that's...
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I'm impressed with people who can.
Really grateful.
Yeah, very grateful. If you are not yet a supporter, though, please just consider coming in at $5 or $10 a month. Just a little bit of support when added with everyone else who's doing a little bit of support adds up to something much bigger. And we would appreciate it. You can do this at shannoncurtis.net. Everything's right there on the front page. It's easy to do. There's only 6 levels. Just pick the one that you like. You'll get your name in the CD for almost every level. We'll mail you a CD if you want one at any level you support at. Everyone gets a digital download of the album, which is going to be amazing. And there's other fun stuff as well, but that's the meat of it. We're leaning less on the idea that you get stuff, and we're leaning more on the idea of we're rallying a community around ourselves in this time, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you can be part of our support community, we would really be grateful for that. ShannonCurtis.net is where you go to do it, and please do.
And thank you so much to all of you who already have. We are lifted and encouraged.
Yes, we are.
By you. And we'll be back again next week with another podcast, so tune in next week, next Wednesday.
Join us on our Facebook Lives in the meantime. We're doing a show. Every single night. It really has become like a little variety show. We play live music as a duo, usually 3 songs based over the hour that we're on. We're on from 7:30 p.m. Until 8:30. That's West Coast time. On the East Coast, that's 10:30 p.m. until 11:30.
Yeah.
It's
We'd
a
love
lot
to
of
see
fun.
You there.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We have a good time, and it brings me uplift. I hope it would bring you some, too. It's on Shannon's profile, so that's facebook.com/ShannonKCurtis, Shannon's personal profile. Just go there and look for the live video at 7:30, 10:30, depending where you are, and we will do our best to lift your spirits.
We will. Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You guys take care of yourselves this week, and we will be back next week with more.
Love you guys.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.